seems so very odd to us, so very distant, so very removed from the experience of our lives, this story that is unfolding before us during this season of Advent. It was so long ago and so far away. How can this ancient story about some ancient people in a faraway land have any bearing at all on our lives in Anniston, Alabama, in the year of our Lord, 2012? We are so much more savvy. We have cars. We have the internet. People have been to the moon. We know with certainty that the world is round and the sun does not orbit the earth. We have a cure for most bacterial infections. What can we possibly learn from folks who've lived in a time when there was no real science and no real technology? If that is our attitude, we surely will learn nothing. And more's the pity in that. Because each moment in time offers us the opportunity to learn, to grow, to come to a deeper understanding and appreciation for the world in which we live, and for those who have cleared the path for us. Today, we hear of the one who made the path for Jesus, who set the stage, who pointed the direction. We have much to learn from John the Baptist, the strange man who lived in the wilderness, had an unusual diet, and was very comfortable being not the one. In Luke's gospel, we hear that the events that are unfolding happen in a very specific time, in a very specific place, with very specific people involved. This is important historically because it gives us context and a tracking point. But the information is not just important as a historical marker, but it is important in telling us about the nature of God. God who is involved in our very specific lives, in very specific times, and very specific places. Who is involved in our ordinary lives, in our very ordinary times, and ordinary places. In the 15th year of the reign of the Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. This may sound like a very boring sentence with lots of details that are irrelevant to us today, but it is loaded. Israel, the chosen people of God, we discover, are in bondage again. They're living in bondage, this time not as slaves in Egypt, but as subjects under the Roman rule. Something has gone very wrong with God's plan for his people. Life is not the way it was intended to be. John, son of Zechariah, a priest of the temple, has lived his life in the wilderness. He's still there. The wilderness. We remember the wilderness is a scary place. The wilderness is where Jesus will be tempted. The wilderness is where people meet their deepest, darkest fears. In Scripture, they are referred to as demons. We know about wilderness and how it can take hold of us and test us and try us and make us feel like we are totally inept, not measuring up. We know about deepest, darkest fears. We know about places where those sorts of demons reside. And it is in this wilderness that John is given the word of God. Pay attention here. John is not living in the temple offering pleasing sacrifices to the Lord on a daily basis. He is not a temple leader, nor a scribe, nor a Pharisee. Maybe he isn't so good at keeping all 600 plus laws. He is an odd sort, imperfect and flawed, and very much aware of the need to repent. He is not given the word of the Lord because he is so good and perfect, so flaw-free, blemish-free. Nowhere is it mentioned in Scripture that John's cave was clean, his skin flawless, his weight under control, and his camels happy and well-behaved. The characteristics highlighted in Scripture about John and many others, if not all others, highlight the fact that they were not perfect. As a matter of fact, they were pretty flawed, just like we are. And those very flawed and very imperfect human beings were the ones God used. Sometimes it almost seems that the less perfect one gives the more opportunity for God to work through that person. Maybe that has to do with being open. Maybe that has to do with being aware that if we are imperfect, we can't make it on our own, that we need God's help. God used this imperfect man, John, to tell God's people that they needed to repent, to turn around, to come back home, and live their lives connected to God. The same call comes to us today. Turn around, turn back, reconnect with God, the source. So often we hear that call is to be good, to work harder, to do more, try harder. So often we hear these words as condemnations, that our strivings are not enough. And if we stop for a moment, or at least slow down for a moment, and look at what we are focusing on in that sort of accomplishment-driven thinking, we discover that it's all about us. What we can do to once again earn God's favor, to return ourselves to God's good graces. And that is the fallacy of our typical way of thinking about Advent and Lent too, for that matter. As though it were up to us, cajoling and coercing God to accept and love us. Repentance is for us, not for God. It's to return us to right relationship with God, not to return God to a right relationship with us. As I have said on more than one occasion, there is nothing you can do to make God love you more, and nothing you can do to make God love you less. That's a given. Repentance, changing our focus, changing our direction, shifting our lives, our attitudes, it shifts us and reminds us of what it's like to live in God's world, with God's people, as God's people. God does not care that you are not perfect, that your house is a mess, your garden needs weeding, your dog is not perfectly behaved, not to mention your children, that you didn't make the best grades, that you didn't make $1 million by the time you were 30 or 40 or maybe even 50. God seems to prefer the imperfect. He created us that way, after all. He came to an imperfect world, in an imperfect state. God came to us in all those imperfect ways so very long ago, so that we might learn that he loves us no matter what, and wants us to stop trying to be perfect and start trying to be faithful. Now's the time to repent and return to the Lord. Amen.